Hello, this is Jennifer Anderson, and I am your career strategist and coach and the author of Plant Yourself Where You Will Bloom, How to Turn What Makes You Unique into a Meaningful and Lucrative Career. And I'm so pleased that you're taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I'm really excited about our topic and our presenter. It's going to be Ursula York. And I met Ursula this summer at a really cool conference that is held in Portland every year, and I met her through a friend. So those of you who know anything about my work, you know that I'm a big believer in making connections through other people. And so Ursula and I have Christine DeCamp to thank for having introduced us this summer. So I'm just thrilled to have Ursula here. She's going to be talking to us about the 7 top fears of becoming an entrepreneur. So for those of you who are thinking you probably have an entrepreneurial nature, or wondering if you have an entrepreneurial nature, or just plain curious about what it would be like to be an entrepreneur, today's session is just for you. And I asked Ursula because when I met her, she came across to me as being so professional, really clear on who she is, what she has to offer, and how she wants to help people. And so I was just thrilled that she was able to take the time out to do this for us. Ursula is an international business coach whose clients include those making the transition from corporate to entrepreneur. Ursula's own entrepreneurial success began with a quick start. After 9 years in a corporate job, she realized her own dream, starting a company that exceeded her 6-figure corporate salary from her first year in business. And in her 17 years as an entrepreneur, yes, that was 17, Ursula has coached many courageous people to start and realize successful businesses. Ursula's coaching methods are both intuitive and practical, blending right and left brain approaches to help her clients achieve the business and the life of their dreams. So, Ursula, welcome.
Thank you, Jen. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm excited about your book.
Oh, thank you. I am, too. By the time people are listening to this, hopefully they will have, maybe they've purchased it, but maybe not quite read it yet, or it could be that they have read it. So, so I already know it's a big success, right?
Absolutely. That's a really great thing to know, and
It is.
It is already happening.
It is already happening. And I just, again, want to thank you so much for being here to talk to the community and share from your experience and wisdom. I know you've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs and you have your own experience. And I guess that's the first thing I wanted to dive into with you about is to tell a little bit more about what it really took for you to, you know, go from making the change in your career that you've made. And you talk a little bit about transformation with that. So can we start there?
Absolutely. I think it's always helpful to hear other people's stories because it really opens the door to, yeah, I could do that myself. Because
mm-hmm.
everything that I talk about is not unique to me in terms of what's possible for you, for other people. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I left my corporate job and started out as an entrepreneur, and it's hard to believe it's 17 years ago, but I really was really pretty scared about the whole process, and it took kind of a leap of faith, an act of courage to do that. And the fact that I was successful financially in that very first year was such a relief to me, for one thing,
mm-hmm.
but it was also a revelation because it really opened the door to showing other people how it was possible to do that. So I kept being approached by people when I would go into my clients' businesses and as a consultant, which is what I was doing more so in those days, I would be pulled aside by people just kind of going, hey, you know, can I talk to you for a minute? They would pull me aside and ask, you know, how do you do this? I'm really interested in starting my own business. So I would have these conversations with people, and that just into the business that I have now, which is of helping people realize their own entrepreneurial dreams. And I've had my own journey in that process too. It's the business has grown from that initial year, and in 3 years ago, in fact, I sold my house and most of my belongings, and I went on the road and still running my business, but from different places around the world, and that that was an amazing process because it just gave me this great experience of freedom and travel that I'd always wanted to do. So that's something that I coach people on too, is being able to work from anywhere, which is possible for a lot of businesses now. So
wow, that is fascinating. We could do a whole other class just on that. Your experiences with that, because that's something I've been playing with as well, is that concept. One of the reasons I started my coaching business, knew it was the right thing for me, was that I wanted it to be really portable, that I could do it anywhere in the country and in the world that I wanted to. So where did you travel to? Where did you operate your business from?
I traveled all over North America. I was in Europe for a while, and I toyed with the idea of going farther afield, but internet access is really crucial to what I do. So, but still, it was even to just be in a place on the same continent that you want to be in is a really great thing to be able to do. So, I really love the work that I do, and I'm honored to work with people on this empowering journey, because I think being an entrepreneur does offer you freedom. It does offer you the possibility of working from anywhere. It does afford you the possibility of a lot of growth. It guarantees it. In fact, I think you probably would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, we're on the same page with that without question. Yeah, I think it's the best thing I've ever done for myself. You know, I just didn't fit in corporate America very well. I was really a square peg round hole in corporate, and really, you know, I never knew that I was going to be an entrepreneur, that I really had that entrepreneurial nature until it kind of was forced on me at one point, layoffs from jobs, and I had was pregnant, and I knew that nobody was going to hire me while I was pregnant. So that's how I started my first small business, and that's what gave me the confidence to really go for it when the time was right, ultimately. Yeah,
well, good for you for seizing that opportunity, because it can be kind of intimidating in that.
And speaking of that, I think that everybody would love to dive into talking about what some of these fears are of becoming an entrepreneur. And when we were planning this talk, you know, that was the thing that I told you, you know, really stood out for me, the certain things that I hear over and over again from people about, oh, my gosh, what if? So I was thrilled to see the ideas that you have. So is it okay if we just jump right in now and get started on the seven? Okay, great. So what's number one?
Well, one of the things that I hear a lot is that people feel that they're going to miss out on the social contact they get with their work, and it's kind of the isolation fear. So, and I think that's a real issue for people. It can be isolating to be an entrepreneur, especially when you're starting out. If you're a solopreneur, someone who operates their business on their own, or with, you know, limited involvement of other people, that it really is kind of a solitary activity, and you end up having to make all the decisions yourself, which is it's a bit daunting. So one of the things I did when I started my own business was I was actually living alone at the time, so this was really crucial for me, and I made a conscious point of connecting. So I arranged lunches and coffee meetings. I joined different groups to connect. I would call friends and colleagues, which, by the way, is a great way to network and stay in touch with people. I'm so glad you mentioned that, the way that we met, because I think, you know, networking kind of gets a bad rap, but it really is just about connecting with people and making friends with them in a way. So
I don't even like using that term networking, because I think it strikes fear in the heart of people. And it's not really what I don't like to network. In fact, at the event that we met at, I actually left and went and sat outside for a while at one point because I was overwhelmed by you know, that kind of environment. Fortunately, it was after I had met you. That's the good news. But I really like that idea of meeting people, connecting to them, developing a friendship, seeing how you can support each other.
Some of the ways that I do this now, which is even more powerful, is I join masterminds. I'm part of a business mastermind, which is a group of people who have their own businesses, and their focus is to have support in growing their businesses in the way that they want to do it. So that concept is really amazing and has been incredibly useful for me as well. And I've also got an informal network of other entrepreneurs. So that's one of the things that I'm developing with Work Alchemy, which is my company, is creating a community of entrepreneurs because we so much need each other's support in that process. So it's a great way to just have touchstones that you can connect with, people that you can connect with when you need support, and just to know somebody else is out there.
Well, and I talk about that really extensively, just for everyone listening, so you have a reference point. I talk about that in Chapter 8 and Chapter 9 in the book. I call it Breaking Ground and Tilling the Soil. So how do you go about getting connected to the right people, and how do you go about creating and building your community? And it sounds like that's what you're talking about, is some of these structures like a mastermind and entrepreneurial type communities online is more comfortable, do you think, for the average person?
I think it's probably a mix, and I think people have their own. You may call yourself an introvert or an extrovert, but the truth is we're kind of on a sliding scale. So in certain situations or at particular times, you may be more introverted than extroverted. So online can be a way for people to connect when they don't feel that comfortable putting themselves out there, whereas people that are more extroverted, they like the person-to-person contact. So
the Chamber of Commerce morning meetings and things like that.
Yeah, and whatever kind of meeting is best suited for your business, because I think that's an important thing to choose the sorts of meetings that you go to rather than just kind of spreading yourself really thin across the board to be really strategic and think about what kinds of places you might meet people that would form the best connections for you.
Right. It's not just about collecting cards, meeting everybody on the hopes that something might, you know, magically appear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And I think that actually touches on another area that I think is really important in how you might even, if you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, how you might plan ahead a little bit, and that is to think about ways that you can develop your circle of contacts and connections. And you'd probably be surprised with how many people you already know.
Mm-hmm.
You can also consciously build that even further and get that into even more of a conscious way that you're building the connections that you have. Plus, there's another aspect as well in terms of how you can prepare for being an entrepreneur, and this kind of addresses another fear that I talk with people about that I often hear, is that if I start my own business, I might fail and lose everything, or I might fail and you know, not quite as cataclysmic, but I might fail and have to give up my current lifestyle. So, which is, you know, a legitimate concern that people have, especially if they have families. But even if they don't, it's just you have a certain way that you want to live, and you want to be able to continue with that. So one of the ways you can prepare for that or work on that is to also create opportunities for you to develop new skills, and by volunteering for an unusual new project or working in another department or area of the company you might be in. And all of those things, the people that you know, the skills that you develop over time, those can all be leveraged. And this is something I talk about in a course I created called Rapid Revenue. The idea of it is, how can you quickly get income coming into your business? And one of the main ways is through leverage. And leverage works through the people you know and the skills that you have. How do you make those work for you? And so that's all money in your leverage bank when you're building up that kind of network and skill set. So, and that's how I was able to create the income that I had in my first year that was actually more than the salary I had as a corporate manager. And this isn't to brag, but to say, if I can do it, so can you. I mean, it really is something that everyone can do if they're focused on it in a way that leverages their particular strengths.
So you were talking about the fear of failing and losing everything, and then the other piece of that sometimes close relative, you say, is having to give up your current lifestyle. So you're saying that if you can focus on the strengths that you have that you can leverage, that that helps with kind of quelling that fear and even the real possibility of it happening?
Yeah, I think that that's certainly an aspect of it, and it also kind of brings you to the point of, well, if I leave my job and or if I decide to become an entrepreneur, I'm going to lose my job security.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's no such thing these days.
No.
It's kind of an illusion that has, you know, stayed in our psyche from, you know, maybe decades ago and in the you know, mid-20th century when that was kind of a prevalent idea. But the reality is companies shift in their focus and your work can disappear tomorrow. So
yeah,
the truth is there's actually more security in building your capacity for creating your own work. And whether that's as an entrepreneur or in the way the question you just asked about even creating a unique place for you within a company, those kinds of things are important aspects, the skills development and the just creating a larger, a lot more points of connection for you so that people are aware of you and your what you can do and what you can offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's as you said, it's about that capacity for creating an opportunity for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once you learn how that works, you've always got it for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we may have started to address this. I wanted to go into it in a little more detail about the fear about the ups and downs in income that often comes with being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and it's a, I call that the roller coaster fear, because there is a reality in that for a lot of entrepreneurs, because what often happens is people start a business and they get out there and boy, they're energized, they're really motivated, partly out of fear sometimes, but the fact is they're motivated, they market a lot. And they market like crazy, and then work starts to come in, and they find more and more work coming in, and then they work like crazy. And the marketing, not so much, because now they're busy working. So after a while, that work gets completed, suddenly no new clients. So you start marketing like crazy again.
Uh-huh.
And it's a tiring cycle, and I see clients do that over and over, and it's certainly one that I fell into myself in the early couple of years of my business. And the way to avoid it and to deal with that fear is to make sure that your marketing is consistent and make sure you're an ongoing presence for the people that you serve.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the definition of marketing, which can be kind of a terrifying thing for somebody who's always worked in a job scenario, marketing is just making people aware of the value that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that you can do even within an organization, just making people aware that, oh, yeah, I would be the right person for this new project because this and this and this.
Right.
That's a form of marketing.
Absolutely. I tell people that the whole job search, no matter what it is that you're searching for, is really a marketing effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you better get comfortable with it.
Yeah, and it's something that especially folks that are doing kind of left brain kind of work that's more intellectually focused, they tend to at least in my experience, they tend to be a little resistant to that idea because they're used to, well, the facts are the facts and they stand on their own. And the reality is, you know, we're dealing with people. There's always an emotional element. There's connection, which really helps warm people up to you if they're connected with you in some way. So that's part of the kind of relationship that you build with people that makes them receptive to hearing how you can be of value.
Right, right. And to really see this as a career effort versus a series of jobs, So to really be able to see, okay, this is the value that I want to be offering next, and to be able to have intelligent conversations with people about what that value is and how it's strategic for you, and how this opportunity that you're seeing either within your organization, which is intrapreneurial, or external in the entrepreneurial environment, it's the same process.
Absolutely. And I think the more we see what opportunities there are for us in the workplace, the more we start to look at our work lives as part of a body of work. And that's a term that I have been hearing a lot lately, and I think it's a really great way of looking at your work life is kind of an organic entity in a way. So
I think that's Pamela Slim's book that's coming out, right?
Yeah, her new book has that title, and I'm also reading Die Empty, which is maybe sounds a little severe, but it's by a guy named Todd Henry. He wrote a book called The Accidental Creative, which is how he sort of first came into a lot of people's awareness. But his latest book is called Die Empty, and the idea is that you have the opportunity to really be fully present in your work, to really build a body of work that's reflective of you and your gifts and all the things that you're able to offer. And so whether that's in a career job format or as an entrepreneur, there's still an opportunity for you to really fully be valuable, not only to yourself, but also to the larger world. So it's a compelling concept.
It is compelling. I love it. So, you know, we were talking about the ups and downs, and talk about those high-low action cycles, all jazzed up, work really hard, then collapse, and everything's, you know, suddenly at a standstill. So I know that I hear from a lot of people that they struggle with worrying about being self-motivated or disciplined enough. So can you talk a little bit about that fear that people have?
Yeah, I one of the things I hear often from people is, oh, wow, because I've worked a lot of my work life, my entrepreneurial life, from a home office. I like it. It's really convenient. It lets me create a really wonderful environment with a lot of flexibility. So what I often hear is, oh, I don't know, I couldn't do that. I'd be sitting in front of the TV all day. But the fact is that everybody gets distracted at times. I mean, you kind of, well, I'm just going to have one more look at Facebook or one more episode of Grey's Anatomy before I get back to work. Because we're all so connected now. There's so many ways that we can be distracted and be doing other things. But one of the clients I had, actually, she had this fear in starting off. And we worked on something I call pull priorities, which are really what is most compelling to you that doesn't just shove you from behind, but it draws you forward towards the work that you want to do. And she was so pulled by the service that she was offering and by the feedback she got, the value that her clients got, and they let her know that they got a lot of value. It wasn't nearly so much of an issue as she had feared. So I think that having clarity about what your priorities are and therefore putting yourself in a position where that is the framework of what you offer, that in combination with some habits you can put in place really helps focus you and helps you be motivated. So things like habits like setting up a morning routine or setting your priorities the night before when you're in the flow of work rather than having to kind of get up some energy in the morning to think about the day. You've already got in mind what you want to do. And another habit that's really great is arranging for accountability, whether it's with a coach or a friend, so that you stay on track. You let people know, this is what I'm planning to do, and there's somebody who can call you on it and ask about it and help draw you forward towards the thing that you want to be doing.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's even more challenging, and it's important to have those kind of structures when you're up to something really big. You know, at the same time, you can be really excited by it and naturally want to move forward, and then you can be pushing up against that comfort zone. and it can look like you're stopping yourself. And I think it's so important to recognize that the structures you put in place in the regular times can really come in handy and sustain you in the times when you're up against that comfort zone.
Absolutely. That good habit kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
that practice,
mm-hmm.
is really valuable. And that's something I encourage people to do when I'm working with clients, is to really, when you have the opportunity to introduce a new habit that's going to support you, do it right then, because when you get busy, that's when the temptation will be to kind of fall off the wagon and,
right.
and just react to everything.
React, yeah.
Yeah. So having those habits in place really help keep you on track.
Yeah. And I'll just tell you a quick story about that right now, because I'm, you know, with the release of the book and some other big things that I'm up to right now, I actually put a post up on Facebook that said, I'm so far out of my comfort zone today that I think I might be in another universe. You know? And so people knew that was their cue to say, go, Jen, you can do it. You have a huge comfort zone. You know? And I read this because I was like, oh, they love me. Okay, good, I can do this.
Well, that's because everybody can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who has the courage to step even a little bit out of their area of comfort, because they're really drawn by something compelling, something they want to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it pushes you, it pulls you out of your comfort zone. So the fact that you were transparent about that and sharing that with people, it's amazing. People really leap to support you in that, because
mm-hmm.
they totally get it.
Yeah, big fun.
So that's great.
Anything else about the self-motivation, or, you know, being disciplined enough? I think the phrase you use is, am I grown up enough? But that is
wrong. Yeah. And I think we kind of get into this thinking about, you know, we have to be driven. You know, you have to kind of beat yourself with a stick in a way in order to keep yourself moving forward. And I think that it can certainly work in the short term, but, oh, boy, is it ever not a pleasant process. So better to kind of think of things in terms of what draws you. What is it that, what's your larger vision? And I call that the big why. You know,
mm-hmm.
what's the big picture about the business that you've chosen, or the work that you've chosen, and what you want to accomplish? What is in that that would motivate you? Because motivational energy is really great to have in your corner. If you start taking action, start doing something, even if that requires some effort, getting action going, it starts that motivational wheel. So once your motivation gets going, it just takes a lot less energy to keep going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's a really important aspect too, is to, you know, make motivation work for you and keep it going. Because one of the things that can happen is you can do a little bit of a stop-start, and that really drains the motivational energy out of your effort. So it's important to kind of achieve some harmony in there between doing the work that's needed to pull you forward, and also balancing that with self-supporting things, kind of self-love things, as I call them, of resting and taking a little time off when you need it, and all of those
mm-hmm.
things, because that helps keep the motivational wheel turning too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think we're up to number five. What's number five, Ursula?
Well, one of the things that is almost something people are a little embarrassed to admit, but it's a real issue for people, and that is, I might fail and be embarrassed in front of my colleagues, my friends, my family. And it's kind of a social humiliation fear. And all of us, we want to be admired. We want to be respected. And so the possibility of failure where, oh, yeah, I'm going to start my own business, or I'm going to launch into this new job and have it not work out is kind of scary for people. So when I started my business, I didn't tell my parents about it for 6 months, because at that point I was well on my way to you know, pretty good income, and so I was feeling a little more confident. But I just was really hesitating to kind of make it more public, even in my immediate family. So I think the bottom line for this kind of social humiliation fear is what's most important to you? And are you ready to create your own work life? Are you ready to have the freedom and the responsibility that goes along with that, that creating your own work gives you? So those are good questions to ask yourself. And if you keep the focus on what's crucial for you, it kind of gets you past that fear about what other people are thinking. So
I love that language, what's crucial to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the phrases that I use a lot is creating your business and your life really from the inside out. So from your own priorities and goals, it's incredibly empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And since work is such an important part of life and it can be such a great opportunity for your own self-expression, creating your work is part of this, it's a big part of this created life. So one of the things that people find really helpful, and I found this helpful and my clients do as well, is to find people who support you in what's important to you. So sharing your goals with them and allowing their support to nurture you, and that gives you energy in your own journey, because ultimately our journeys are unique. We're all connected, but we're individual expressions, and as that, we get to use the creativity that we have to create that individual expression. So getting support for that is a really important way of nurturing that along and letting you just get past the point where you're even worried about what's going on with other people, because they have their own unique journeys. And
they
you
do.
Have yours. Yeah.
You know, and Ursula, I just want to say that I also have found with my clients that oftentimes there are people who are quietly waiting in the wings. They're watching. They're actually rooting for you. It's just that they're quiet about it. They're not. And I think that if you, you know, really kind of pause for a second, close your eyes, focus in on it, you can almost feel their support in kind of a weird way. But there's a lot more support out there. Over and over again, I hear it from clients that they're surprised how many people are really rooting for them to succeed.
Yeah, that is such a great point. I think that we all have people who in our lives who really are focused on what is it that you want? What is it that's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good friends in that way, whether it's family or friends, but they're good friends in that they see you and they want to support you and who you are. So that was certainly true in my experience of selling my house and almost everything I owned. I thought, well, people are going to find this really strange. But I was so committed to the idea. It just was so empowering and energizing for me. I was still determined to do it. And when I started sharing it with people a little tentatively, I was amazed at people's reactions. I think I had one person say, are you sure that's such a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
But there were dozens and probably hundreds of people who came up to me and said, wow, that is so cool. I wish I could do that. The other side benefit of you just being who you are and living out your life in all its fullness is that you're an inspiration for other people.
Mm.
I mean, you writing a book is inspiring for other people because they start to think, well, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could write it.
And I'm the first one to say, yeah, you can.
Yeah, I agree. It's awesome. So, I mean, it's a lot bigger than you even. It's not a selfish act, as some of us, you know, think
that
we do something for ourselves that somehow it's, you know, it's kind of a selfish thing. But it's so empowering for other people to see you live the fullness of your life. It's really an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, what's next?
Well, I think a couple of things that people also deal with are, one is not knowing what business to start. You know, I'm kind of interested in all these different things. I could do this, or I could do that, or here's this other thing I did years ago, maybe I could do that. And it can be an obstacle because you kind of get stuck in, well, I don't know what I would do. And we've kind of touched on this already, this idea of leverage, but choosing something that gives you the most leverage can be the fastest way to get your business started and revenue going. It's it's really a process of exploration to define what that is. And
well,
you know,
yeah, and that's what my whole book is about, right?
There you go.
At least the first chapter goes, well, it's actually chapter six, really talks about how when you know what makes you unique, what experiences you can combine, you get that starting point. And that's what my Career Epiphany coaching program is all about, is going through that process. So,
yeah.
Yay, you are again preaching to the choir here. I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and that's awesome, that message, because it really is true. It's kind of the point of where your deepest passions combine with what people actually want, and the combination is so powerful, and it lets you create something that's fired up from the inside, which is really amazing. So.
Oh, that's a great term, too, fired up from the inside.
Well, my that's why I chose that business name of Work Alchemy, because I think the fire, the passion, the energy that's in all of us is that amazing life force. And if we can really be ourselves in the fullest way, then we're really energizing our businesses and everybody we come into contact with.
Awesome. Well, I know we have one more tip to go, but before we jump into that, since you mentioned Work Alchemy, I know that you put together a special gift for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering if you would mind taking just a minute to talk a little bit more about what it is that you actually do, and then what it is that you are offering us and how people can get a hold of it.
Sure. The in terms of the work that I do with people, it's really a combination of defining what they are wanting to do from deep inside themselves in terms of moving forward, whether it's starting a business or making some kind of a shift in their business. They're really in a time of transition and transformation. So those are really – and I think if we're really open to personal growth, that's pretty much a constant activity for a lot of us of just being in this constant – openness to change and what is going to be most powerful in terms of what we offer and how we serve the larger world. So one of the things that becomes a little challenging, especially in those times of transition, is how do you even go about creating a framework for this thing that you're not even sure what it's going to end up as? And it's a challenge. So I've created this guide. It's called The Best Day at Work Ever, and it's a way of getting at what would it look like if you had the best day at work you've ever had. What would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And all different aspects of that. And it's a guide that kind of walks you through. There's an audio that goes along with it, and it just walks you through the process of really becoming aware of what that is for yourself. And that creates a great framework for everyday business decisions, because the way that we make decisions, the way that we create a work life, the way that we create a business is all about the decisions that you make every day. They're cumulative, and the choices you make, the things that you decide to focus on, all of those things are about the decisions you make. So if you have a guide of what you want your days to look like on an ongoing basis, then that can be a great framework for making the decisions that you need to make. So that's one aspect of what I call the Feed the Fire toolkit. It's a that guide that you can work through and develop as a unique vision that is something that really works for you. And the other aspect of the toolkit is a free subscription to the Work Alchemy newsletter, which goes out every Tuesday, and it's got a topic that really supports people in developing their own businesses and bringing you kind of cutting-edge ideas and concepts to help move you forward and get that support on an ongoing basis. So.
Yeah, so it kind of keeps the conversation you and I are having today going for those
exactly.
who are listening, and this is right, you know, what you need to be hearing. You can continue to get more of this.
Absolutely. So
that's
so if
terrific.
People want to have access to that, it's at www.workalchemy.com/entrepreneursbestguide.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and it's posted below the recording here, the link for that as well. So,
great.
Because that's kind of a long one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So we'll make sure everybody has access to that. And if anybody has questions about what that link is for some reason, you can always send a request to info@start2bloom.com, and we can get it to you that way too. Okay, great. So, okay, just cannot wait because these first six have been so right on and perfect. What's number seven?
So one of the last ones, and I think this is something that people often fear, that I don't know enough about business to start one. It's the knowledge gap
mm-hmm.
fear. And ironically, this one is the easiest fear to address. Everybody can learn. Everybody that's listening to this is smart enough to learn what you need to know to operate a business. And everyone who chooses to put their energy into gaining the knowledge, the education through coaching or courses or their own research can learn how to do this. And the knowledge part is really just the mechanics. And
mm-hmm.
it's maybe 10 to 15% of the process of creating your own business. I mean, you may be surprised by that because you may think, well, I don't know enough, and that's got to be like a huge part of it. And
yeah.
the fact is, it's really a relatively small percentage.
It is, yeah.
And if you're pulled by your work, if you're the creator of your own work, your business, it's your mindset that so much determines your success.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, that's something I work on every single day is my mindset, and it's one of my favorite things to work on, challenging myself to come from a place of abundance versus a place of fear or lack.
Right.
And you're right. The business piece is – it's crucial, though. You can't skip it.
Absolutely. there's so many ways that you can get yourself out there on the internet now that's become an important aspect of business. So
mm-hmm.
there is a lot to learn. There's a lot of mechanics involved in that. But the fact is it's all doable. So And that was a really great point you made about doing this every day, because the things we talked about earlier, they're all about fears and concerns. Those are the things that really slow people down, and it can stop them entirely if they let it. So, but the thing is, all these fears and concerns can be worked through. It's a process and
mm-hmm.
an ongoing one. So, and it just reaps amazing rewards to be dedicated to the kind of growth that sort of journey allows. The
mm-hmm.
empowerment, the freedom, the fun, it all spills over into every aspect of your life. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing to consciously dedicate yourself to that level of growth, and your book supports that, which
mm-hmm.
is an amazing contribution.
Ursula, you're making me feel really smart for being an entrepreneur, small business owner. I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face going, I feel good about myself now.
All right, great. Well, it's been an amazing journey for me, too.
I'm
thrilled to share that with people. If that's something they feel called to, then it's really something that I think makes such a difference in people's lives.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are just a wealth of information and perspective, and you really are that blend of practicality and inspiration, you know, the inside and the outside. So thank you so much for being here and sharing so much wisdom with us. I really want to encourage everyone to get a hold of Ursula's gift there, Planning Your Best Day at Work. Totally in alignment with what Plant Yourself Where You Will Bloom is all about. So, and Ursula, I'm looking forward to, once I discover those entrepreneurs that are my clients, sending them your way to have you work with them. So,
well, I'd be delighted to do that.
I'm so glad we met and that you were willing
too.
To do this.
My great pleasure. And I think it's really, I want to congratulate you for really dedicating yourself to creating a book, because it's not easy. I'm writing a book mm-hmm. myself, and I know how much time and energy it takes. So I really applaud you for staying committed to that vision and bringing it to fruition. And I know the book is going to be an amazing gift to people. So.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm going to be rooting for you and doing the same thing with your book. So
thank you.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. And you have all the connections for how to get back to us. If you need anything at all from Coach Jen, you can find me at jen@starttobloom.com. Thanks, Ursula. Take care.
You're welcome. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.